Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. And it's our pleasure to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. Dan, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
I'm doing really well. How about yourself?
We are all doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us here on the show. And Dan, I want to start with the Super Bowl matchup. Tom Brady getting to his 10th Super Bowl, 43 years old, taking the Bucs to the Super Bowl in his first year. What kind of an accomplishment is this? I mean, this guy's won everything. He's done everything. Where does this rank in terms of Brady's accomplishments in his career?
Oh, it's at the top. I mean, I said this, I think, after the NFC title game the day after. I said, Tom Brady has the longest list of incredible accomplishments when it comes to NFL careers, and this one's at the top. We haven't given enough credit to the reality of what this year has been. The emotional toll of leaving a place that was home for him and his family, and that he took them and everybody associated with New England on an incredible 20-year run, like a magical once-in-a-lifetime run, the emotional toll of that, and then to leave, and then to go through the global pandemic, and to not have the opportunity to be around his teammates and his coaches, you know, in the springtime in the traditional fashion, and then not getting the traditional training camp, not getting preseason reps and all that stuff. Like, if there was ever a season that we could sit here and point to as reasons for failures, now people always often call those excuses or reasons for failures, this would be the one. And somehow this superhuman freakazoid machine is back in the Super Bowl. And I expected it to be the case, but that has actually happened blows my mind.
The other guy in this game, Dan, pretty good quarterback on the other side too. he does have protection issues in this game, and he's going against a team that I think that's obviously a huge part of why Tampa Bay is here. What's your concern level from the Kansas City perspective on, you know, keeping him upright and enabling him to do what he does?
Yeah, a couple things. I think Patrick's going to have to play the best game he's ever played to win. The best NFL game he's ever played to win. I mean, we're talking about going against the top five defense, top five offense, and you have five backup offensive linemen in. You know how many of those games you're supposed to win? Zero. And let alone this being the Super Bowl. So I think, first of all, Patrick's going to have to take some ownership of not allowing this defensive line to get going in this game. You know, holding on to the football, not being disciplined with your decision-making when it comes to the RPO game, trying to do too much and create too much will get you in trouble. So he's got to take some ownership, again, especially early on in this game. And then I think that the reality is how well they can get the ball to the perimeter to force this defense to play side to side. And, you know, when you do that and create that space, you don't need all five offensive linemen to create really good blocks or make really good blocks. You need three of them, too, because you've created the space for it. So I think that'll be a big thing to pay attention to for Kansas City's offense, is how well they do a good job with that.
ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan, I'm interested to get your take on the Deshaun Watson situation in Houston. I mean, to me, it's unbelievable that the Texans have allowed it to get to this point where he wants out, and you're probably going to lose a franchise quarterback that's absolutely probably on track to becoming a Hall of Famer at the age of 25. What do you think of all this, and what do you think the best fit is for Deshaun Watson if he ends up leaving Houston?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the biggest organizational, if not the biggest organizational mistake I've ever seen, at least in my time in the NFL. My only issue with it right now is that people continue to tie it to, like, the on-the-field stuff. You know, like, that Deshaun is asking out because it has anything to do with football. Deshaun's not asking out or demanding out because of what is transpiring on the football field. Deshaun's asking out because things aren't in that organization off the field aren't right. That's why, like, Brett Favre's comments of, like, you know, we get paid a lot of money to do a job. Yeah, dude, this isn't the conversation here. The conversation is, you know, treating people the right way and not crossing lines that should not be crossed. That's the conversation here. And so I don't think he ever plays for Houston again. I have felt that way. I also think something that's not being talked about enough is who his agent is. David Mulgeta is one of the most powerful agents in football. Jalen Ramsey is a client. He got him out of Jacksonville. So I think that Deshaun has made it very clear that this is bigger than football. This is about the human, the person. He'll never play there again. Now, Houston's got to sit there and go, well, this stinks. You know, we're going to lose this guy. That being said, you're going to lose this guy, whether you want to or not, whether you play hardball or not. You better get as much as you can for him. And Mike Tannenbaum made this point at the end of the week, and I thought it was really smart. You got two teams in the NFL draft this year that have two picks each in the first round, and they both happen to play in the same division. Cha-ching. You know, get Miami and New York against each other, and losing, not getting Deshaun Watson would hurt. Allowing your division rival to get Deshaun Watson would hurt even more. You think about it. If you're the Jets and he goes to Miami, you got to play Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson four times a year. You won't win the division for the next dozen years. Now, where's the ideal or best fit? And he's remarkable. For any quarterback that's trying to leave, the best place is San Francisco, and the second best place is Indy. And so if he can get to one of those, and that's an interesting part of it as well, is does Houston sit there and go, yeah, we'll take less value to get you out of our conference? That'll be interesting to see how much they kind of weigh those two aspects.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, and just an incredible quarterback movement year all the way around. So, Dan, you've made your feelings clear on Matthew Stafford. Obviously, you know him well, but a terrific player, and the Rams took a big swing here. I think are set up to really make a run with him. What are people missing on Matthew Stafford? I understand people talk about, you know, playoff wins and things like that, but maybe need to have the proper context of where he's been playing. And then also, Dan, on Jared Goff, what is his upside in this league moving forward?
Yeah, these are one of those moments where I love being in this draft, because this is when I get to dunk on people sometimes. So everyone goes, well, Matthew Stafford is just a stat guy. The guy doesn't have any wins. And they're like, well, if he's so good, why doesn't he win enough football games? Matthew Stafford sucks. In the same breath, people are like, Jared Goff stinks, man. He only went to the Super Bowl because of Sean McVay. Yeah, folks, Jared Goff is second in the NFL over the last 4 years in wins. You can't say both of those things. You can't say Matthew Stafford stinks because he doesn't win enough, and then say Jared Goff stinks when he wins more than anybody in the NFL over the last 4 years besides one guy. And so Matthew's a guy that has succeeded individually, even though every aspect that you're relying on to be successful has been a failure around him. The Rams are getting a guy that is incredible leader, incredible tough, one of the top five arm talents in the NFL. Their offense got 10 points better because of him. Jared Goff, really good young player. Does the one thing that is the most important physical attribute in the NFL, playing that position, place the ball where you want to. I think that it gets him the great opportunity to go redefine who he is. Everyone has always tied Jared Goff to Sean McVay. Now he gets to go create his own identity. And the reality is that he's a young quarterback that has been to the Super Bowl, has been to the playoffs on three different occasions and won two playoff games. And, you know, now has been disrespected. And what does he do with that emotional feeling to spring him moving forward?
The ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Dan, we appreciate so much you taking a few minutes to carve out of your day and join us here on the show. Great stuff as always.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
Absolutely. Okay. You as well. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.